much. Let me start by greeting all the members, honorable members of the committee, and the members of the Council Control Board. Honorable Chair, it has been a roller coaster for the CCP this year because of the COVID-19. We have to reduce the personnel in our environment for us to stick to the funds that are being available for the salaries. But we are hoping, Honorable Chair, that now with time, we'll overcome all these hurdles that we are facing now. We do understand that now there will be possible second wave on COVID-19, but we'll adjust accordingly. With those few opening words, Honorable Chair, and honorable members of the committee, I'll then give the opportunity to the CEO to give the briefing to the committee. I thank you.
Thank you so much, General. Over to you, CEO.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, General, for those kind words and the support that you and the rest of the board members always give to us, and of course also Jefferson Kaba, that you also give to us in terms of the important role that we play in transforming the what we call the symbol of armed colonial conquest and apartheid into a symbol of inclusion. We've seen what happened in America with Black Lives Matter, we've seen what in Britain, we've seen what happened in France. So globally, I think I'm happy that I have a board, a executive authority, the minister and the deputy minister, that understand the importance of heritage and of difficult heritage in this difficult time that we are in. I have turned you, I don't know if the slide moved, I've turned you to the COVID-19 slide that I will talk about. And then I'm certainly certain that the CFO and the chairperson will help me when I explain the audit that we have with the Auditor General this year, with the Auditor General's office. And I think I want to express my heartfelt condolences to the Auditor General's family and to you also who worked with him. And I know you had a AG briefing yesterday, the passing of the real Auditor General, the person that's called the Auditor General, a person whom we had a warm relationship with. And I agree with you, it's so good when you go onto that podium and you receive your Clean Audit Award and you speak with the late Auditor General and how he's encouraging you that in a sea of uncertainty and when people misappropriate money and state resources, that there are these few bright spikes. And we'll explain why we're not in that territory this year. If we have to apologize, we have to apologize to you and to the general public about that. And then I just want to say to the female colleagues, honorable members and board members on this platform, I want to express as a man, I want to, you know, almost say that I apologize and I feel the shame that we should have yet another 16 days of activism against gender-based violence, second pandemic that we're talking about, the pandemic of the soul. I speak to my daughters and my wife every day about this, why we should, as social agents, change agents, still have to fight this scourge of femicide and violence against the most vulnerable and the most precious in our society. I know if you, chairperson and members, if you're aware, we were partnering with COSATU on Friday to launch their 16 days of activism, and yesterday we also opened a exhibition at the castle, which you are welcome in your own time, dealing with gender-based violence and how we should memorialize this. Quickly back to the presentation. So on slide 12, Chairperson, you know, it's history. We've closed the castle on the 19th of March. We went in a state of panic. I will not take you through that detail. Staff uncertainty, closure, the clients who don't know that they can if they can still have the events here, visitors that don't know where to go, and the fact we didn't have a proper, almost a virtual museum next to the physical museum also exacerbated that, because we simply didn't have the resources to put up a parallel museum and heritage, you know, in cyberspace where people can access. But we're working on that, and we had many partnerships around that. So we received the 20 million, the 3 million on the 20th of May, after we've been making advances, presentations to you, presentations to the executive authority, presentations to the department, also presentations to the unemployment fund, and certainly this 3 million, and that's, you have the presentation in front of you, and that's why on the second page, I've deliberately posted the picture of the 19 staff members as an expression of the gratitude that we could at least save their jobs and their salaries for this period, Jefferson. Then, as you know, the castle slowly opened on the 1st of September, and I'm sitting with my one ear listening to the courtyard, to listen to the young kids on the grass in the front courtyard, and it's that, you know, spirit of recovery. It's not there yet, but that spirit of recovery, that's really the bloodline for us to continue with the work that we're doing, chairperson and members. So we have scaled down of our activities. The museums are not open on Mondays for COVID reason, cleansing purposes. The museums also closing earlier, 3:30 already for them to clean for the next day. We don't have the traditional key ceremonies where people will group around, you know, around the firing of the cannon and the risk associated with this. We have much smaller, you know, meetings and conferences. And so all in all, we are not closely at the levels that we were last year this time. So Chairperson, of the gratefully received 3 million, we have up to the end of October, we spent 2.13 million. So if you make your sums, we will, and if nothing has happened at the pace that we hope that we will enter into, then we will last for another 2 months on the assumption that we don't operate at that level. But I'm looking forward to, after the school's exams and after the announcement of the president that international travel and, you know, tour limitation has been, the bans has been suspended, that we will return in December to some form of normality. Jefferson, even if we hit December at half, you know, at 50% of what we've done last year, if I look at the December figure for last year, it was 707,000. Even if we hit half of that 350, we will still be able to make it. Even in January, we made 677. If we hit half, in other words, if we only hit half of what we hit last year, January and December, we will be able to get through this year. Just to paint you the picture, how slow our restart have been, Chairperson. Our revenue since we have closed, you know, is up to date till last, you know, yesterday's figure was not even a quarter of a million, 206,761. And it is less than everyone that we do in one, what I could call normal month. If we look what we've done last year, where we're in November, let's go to October. Last October, I'm checking it a very low month, it was 339,000. So you could see that for this entire period, since we've closed in March, only made this to give you an indication of the scaling down of our activities and how you can't put a gun next to a visitor's head to say, come here. You can't say to an event organizer, bring your event here, because your event, unfortunately, we can only have events up to a maximum of 500 people. And that's normally not lucrative for your event organizers. So yes, similarly, I want to say for the visitor figures, we see an increase in the footfall now, but the schools are in exam time now, and so we would expect the first to the second of December for us to return to some form of normality. But I want this slide because I think we remain hopeful in these turbulent times. And I think with your support, with the my board support, with the executive authority support, we will be able to make it. Then returning to your vexing question, I don't know what your engagement with the Auditor General revealed yesterday. But for me, there are two issues that I think that will make us struggle even next year for the clean audit report. But I say it's within our reach. The one is the issue of the going concern. If you look at what I have presented now, and if you look at how long it will take us to return to some form of normal revenue generation activities, we will sit, we have 4 months left of the financial year, four and a half months left of the financial year. Unless a miracle happens, we will still have that pressure. But, and I hope also that the Auditor General have revealed to your esteemed committee that two of the main revenue matters, and I don't say that we should not push for compliance, but it's the corporate governance things. I mean, if you look at the Auditor General's bill, it's 400,000. If you look at our internal audit bill, it's another 200,000. So you talk about 700,000-800,000 that's simply going into compliance, which we say, think is important, but which we say is the very issue that puts the pressure on our going concern. So it's a chicken and egg situation that we're sitting in. Mandla can come in now, but that's the major issue. And then there's a couple of recurring issues linked to this that I think the Auditor General said to him, but those are fixable. The going concern can only be fixed if we return to normality or we get some kind of more sustained small Indiana subsidy from the department. But the other issues, I think, what they term under leadership, the regular reporting, looking at all the measures to deal with those almost administrative issues, the CFO will tell you what we put in place to make sure that, at least from that point of view, the things that's under our control will be able to move into the realm of clean audit. The third thing that I think also put pressure on us is that in the past 6 years that I've been here chairperson, we've been audited by intermediaries. The Auditor General would appoint a company to audit us, and they would do the review of that. So this year, for the first time, it was the Auditor General's office directly that audited us. So I think we need to just rebuild, and work out a rapport between us and the auditor as a direct from the office of the Auditor General for us to deal with these issues. Because I think it takes time to understand the dynamics of one of the government's smaller, public entities. And if you have a one shoe fits all kind of tick box approach to auditing your audities, it takes time for us to get into that space. So thank you so much. I hope that General Mabuli, Honorable Chairperson Kaba, and the other members, I have covered us in terms of how you guided me to do this presentation. But as I say, you have in a previous written response from this committee asked me particular questions whom we've responded to. But if there are other questions, I am so much willing to take it, and my board members are here to support me in taking that. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, CEO. General, do you want to make any additional comment before I cross to the members?
Honorable Chair, no, I don't have any comments for now. The CEO, he has broadly explained the thing, our situation, and we truly know of issues that we still need to to tackle on the on auditors, the money that comes from the castle. That's the discussion which is underway with the Secretary of Defense and the Chief Financial Officer of the DOD. In short, those are the issues which we are hands on them. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you so much, General. Colleagues, I can see Mr. Murray's hand. Mr. Murray, you may come in.
Chairperson, no, I probably not lower my hand from the previous time. My apologies. I'm just taking leave from Ray from asking questions.
Yes. General, colleagues, any other comment? The issues are known. We've been waiting for you to come back to us early in the new year, just to tell us how it is. How you're coping with the situation. I'm pleased to hear that there are discussions with the Secretary for Defense in terms of your plight, given the situation that you found yourself in. We just want to leave it at that for now. And thank you for the report. And I hear you when you say that the Auditor General is the first year that they've started auditing you directly. And that possibly in the new year, maybe next year, once you now have reached a rapport, you would be able to convince them and then get a clean audit. I mean, it's a small entity and dealing with a small budget, and it shouldn't be difficult to provide. They are not dealing with too many issues. They're maintaining a castle. Essentially, you have less headache because you are not delivering any service beyond what you do in the castle. With that, I just want to thank you and thank members of the board for taking their time out to just be part of this meeting. I can only I see Ms. Bucher's hand. Right, I think that's the only hand I see. Ms. Bucher.
Thank you, Chair. Sorry for coming when you were done. But can you hear me, Chair?
I can hear you.
Yes. Chair, I just want to wish them well, and I hope that the festive season will make up for the losses there during lockdown. I just have one question, Chair. The issue that the Auditor General was raising specifically to the CCP was the quality of the financial statement was one of the issues. So I just want to find out what is the problem? Is it maybe a capacity problem that they don't have enough people? Or is it just that they not properly prepare those statements? Because when it was sent back, they corrected. So what was the initial problem? Is it just that they just want to submit because of the submit, they must submit, or is there a capacity problem? Thank you, Chair.
Yes, that was the main issue that only corrected once it was picked up, but to report it.
Can I start before the CFO comes in, Chairperson? Thank you.
Yes, CEO.
Yes, I forgot to deal with that issue. Even with the section, the first part, with the part of the performance information, what the Auditor General says, if they have to point out that there's a spelling error here, or instead of saying that you have, you've reached a target of 16, you say 15, because there's someone, they say if they have to point out in your draft annual financial report and annual report, these casting errors or interpretation errors, then they list those as findings. They do not like to report. So I think it's a mixture of the two. It's a mixture of us not having those systems internally that we so that we look at the quarterly report. Or almost internally audit our audit report and then when we get in pull the four quarterly reports together, then there are less mistakes on them, either casting, human error, or whatever. So what we have done now, and the CFO can speak, is to have quarterly review meetings of our quarterly financial statement, and then we send it to the internal auditors to do so. So it's a matter of that, because you know we're not like other organizations. We have three people, say four people, in the kind of finance department, and so I think if we get our internal systems of quarterly dashboards back on track again, like we used to have in the past, we will reduce those errors. The pity that the chairperson of the audit committee is not here, because that's the commitment that we made to the auditor general. Because in fact, and Mandla can come in, even our set of annual financial statements before we send it to the auditor general has been reviewed by a company that previously worked for the auditor general. So we went through that, but I mean, still there slipped some errors through. But I think we admit that we maybe were not diligent enough, but we also committed to the auditor general that we put in measures in place to mitigate, those things that they pointed out. But Mandla can come in and speak to that.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Just to give context to what the CEO has said, the issues that led us to not getting a clean audit report, it's disclosure issues. And there's only one major issue, which is the overtime payment, which we never separated from the employee-related costs. For the past 20 years, it's always been part of employee-related costs. So during the last year's audit, the auditor wanted it to be separated. And unfortunately, it's material, about 300,000 of overtime payments, mostly to other members of staff that were never separated. And I would understand when the AG will speak about the quality of the financial statements, because they have a standard reporting template. So they've pointed something out and you've made corrections, it will speak to the quality of the financial statements. I'm not saying it's a trivial issue, because it led to your qualification. But it's not an issue that is not remedial. We'll be able to remedy the situation, because now we're preparing interim financial statements, so we should be able to pick up all of those issues. And like CEO has said, there's always a difference when you're audited by a private company and when you're audited by the AG themselves. So, because they were questioning what the other auditors have done, which cannot do. An auditor is an auditor, whether in public sector or in private sector. But so I was just giving context that the quality is basically a standard template that the AG will use, because they speak about leadership. But if you look at us, we've always had audit committee meetings throughout the year, audit committee reviews throughout the year. We've had board meetings and board reviews throughout the year. But they speak about all those issues as they were not in place.
Okay, are we done?
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you. All right. I think it's the degree of patience and the difference between the public, the AG, and the private auditors. I would imagine the private auditors would not met how many times they send the thing back and forth, because each time they'll be bidding you. So it doesn't matter. But with the AG, I think they are very clear and very straight that it must not be their responsibility to pick up issues that you should have picked it up in the first place. And I think they are right. Otherwise, they would be made to police the department. I don't know how many departments and entities that they audit. It's quite a number. And if each one of them will keep coming back and forth, then there would be an issue. No, I hear the point. Colleagues, I want us to leave it at that for now with the entity. And thank you and thank them for their presentation today. General Mbodi and the other board members, thank you very much. CEO, thank you very much. And team, you are excused.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Colleagues, can we quickly go through the minutes, Brian? I know we've gone over time. We have 5 minutes. Why I say it's 5 minutes left. In fact, there's no time minutes left. And Brian, minutes, can I beg for your indulgence and just deal with these 2 sets of minutes? Right, this is the attendance, colleagues, on the September 2nd. It was a briefing by the department on their quarterly report. Can you just go up? Briefing by the Department of Defense on its 2021st quarterly report. Follow-up mandate on the implementation of the 2019 BRR recommendations. A report and investigation into irregular fruitless and useful explanation from the Department of Defense and the adoption of the constellation and adoption of the fourth term program. So this is the attendance. Go down. All right, go down. I hope there is nothing. Go down. So briefing by the DOD, go down. All right, go down. The briefing continues. The briefing continues. Then there's discussion. All right. And the discussions, all right. Let's go down. Follow up with the DOD on the implementation of the B2R recommendations. Go down. Go down. So these are the deliberations. And there was a report on investigation presented by Provost Marshall. And they take us through the issues there. And the committee commented. These are the comments of the committee, colleagues. Go down. And the consideration of the term. And the resolution of the term. Just look at the resolution. The committee agreed that the DOD should brief it on its measures that the department would devise to contain the budget of expenditure during the fourth term of the committee program commencing October 2020. The DOD was specifically requested to explore scenarios comprehensively to allow the committee to seek ways to support the department. department was requested to provide the committee with the SIU proclamation for an investigation which the president issued in 2019. And please follow this up, Brian, with the letter to the department. The department was requested to provide the committee the breakdown of the suppliers of the PPE and related products to determine to what extent the youth, women, and military veterans have benefited from such contracts. The department should brief the committee of the plan. So, colleagues, these are the matters. Can I get your, is this a true reflection, colleagues?
Yes, sir, it is a true reflection. I was just wondering, maybe especially after today's meeting with Arms Corps, we have referred up in the document to the special defense account, and it seems like there are still questions as to what will and how will they replace the allocation to the special defense account, or whether that has been resolved that the special defense account will stay for prime mission equipment acquisitions. Maybe I'm not sure that that is a major issue, but I just want that us to flag that with the department so that we don't lose sight of that, because that can have a medium-term impact if it's not addressed in the upcoming budget considerations.
You mean the allocation to the special defense account?
Yes. In this report, they briefed us and said that there are still no progress in that regard. But I think after yesterday and today with Arms Corps, where it is raised as a matter of concern, that we must just flag this with the department, that they brief us in terms of how this will be dealt with, especially in the main budget coming up in February.
Okay. All right.
Because if that amount will be put somewhere else, or whether, you know, the feeling was that we should retain the SDA, and whether that will just go into the general defense account. So that's more a flagging of the, I think, the important matter, as it can have medium-term and long-term consequences.
I agree. Alex, but we move for adoption.
Yes, sir. With that remarks, I will propose for adoption.
Thank you so much. Any seconder?
I second, Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Baker. Seconds. Thank you so much. And then the last set. Is consideration adoption of a briefing by the content advisor and researcher of the DOD. So that was in-house, and the consideration of the outstanding report. This was the attendance. Okay, you may go down. All right, consideration and adoption of the fourth program, right? All right, no, we're fine. And briefing by the content advisor and the researcher. Thank you. Go down. That was the briefing. Briefing by the researcher on the Arms Corps annual report. Okay. On Castle Board and the annual report. Okay. On DMV, right? The first was the briefing on DOD, and then we considered the thing, and these are the resolution and emanating from the meeting. Colleagues, is this a true reflection?
Yes, it seems like so, sir.
Thank you so much. Moved by Mr. Murray, a seconder. By Honorable Lekhwase. All right. Mutisa?
No one wants to second the report, the adoption of the report. My goodness.
Ms. Bikas, you help us?
Yes, Chair.
Oh, thank you.
Chairperson was struggling, eh? Chairperson, you are muted. You are muted. Chairperson, you are muted.
No, thanks, thanks. With the last minutes, indeed, I was struggling. Colleagues, we are done. I've received my travel information. I'm sure you all have received it.
I also received mine.
Okay.
I have not received mine yet.
Okay. No. It means that it's coming. I hope you'll get it before the close of business. Colleagues, until we meet when? On Friday.
On Friday.
Yeah, the meeting on Thursday, on Tuesday next week, will be in the evening at 6 o'clock.
Fantastic. Wonderful.
Thank you so much. Colleagues, thank you very much. My apologies for going beyond time. Thank you so much. Bye.
Thank you. See you on Friday.
See you on Friday. Thanks, Chief. Bye now.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Trouble has started.